Good evening. It's the Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're grateful that you are with us. And we are rebooting reinvigorating here every night from the El Pacifico News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. We got Don Berman with us, and we're going to talk with Don. This is our second time this week, and he's very, very grateful, and we're very happy to have Don. This is the second time this week, though, we are talking with Don, and this is concerning, this time at least, concerning this hostage situation that took place in Georgia. Yesterday, we were, last night, I should say, it was at a function for animators, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this on the air, Don, but you've got the particulars. The reason why we have Don Berman with us is because he was involved in something like this himself as a young reporter, and we want to get into that. Don, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Phil, and thank you. I'm very appreciative of the invite of your program here for the second time this evening. Second time this week, I mean.
And Antoinette Huff, the hero of the hour, a woman that stayed with this guy, talked to him, calmed him down, somehow was able to maintain enough composure whereby she made a human connection. I mean, time and again we hear of these stories, don't we?
Well, I think that that is key, and it is key because when you're dealing with an individual, Phil, who is taken hostages, who's taken a step that is so desperate that they have decided that this is the only way they can deal with their life's problems, you know that that person is in some manner looking for some human connection. It happened to me. I was in that situation. And as a reporter, of course, I was, at that time, I was a street reporter for Channel 19. I'd not yet moved into the ranks of an anchor position. And I was torn because, on the one hand, I saw this as a career enhancement. If you get a story like this, on the other hand, there was an opportunity. Things could go very, very wrong. Or a chance, I should say.
Tell us about what happened in your case.
Well, this was a middle school out in the Inland Empire of Southern California, what we call the Inland Empire, Phil. This is the San Bernardino Riverside area. It is due east of Los Angeles County, and that comprises a couple of counties, which is Riverside and San Bernardino counties, as well as perhaps maybe the northern portions, a bit of Imperial County. And there was a hostage situation involving a young man who was in one of the classrooms. I will tell you that at the time, and I want to give you this very, very slowly, you know, because there's going to be some misunderstanding. I was at that school, and I had a niece at that school, and I had my a problem with the school. Let me just tell you that. I was on site myself when this hostage situation took place.
Now, you had a problem with the school?
Yes, I did. Because my niece was involved in special students or I don't know what the program was called then. I don't even know what they call it now, and I should. I'm a newsman. But it has to do with students that are special and mentally...
I understand. Developmentally disabled.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will say the short bus, and
I understand what you're saying. Was your niece...
No, my niece was not special, and I would say to them, my niece is not special in that sense. My niece is very special to me, but I don't think she's developmentally disabled. He said, well, Mr. Berman, we disagree. We think she is. I said, well, you may disagree, but then I disagree with you. You're not going to put my niece... And so this went back and forth. Now, the hostage situation transpired on this campus, and I was there to report it, and I had to be very, very careful. I will tell you, I know everything that went through Antoinette Huff's mind, and I know everything that poor woman was experiencing.
Are you giving me the story here about your niece to give some background as to what the problem was that the actual hostage taker had?
I'm giving you the background because these are the issues that oftentimes arise. Not that they are a legitimate reason to take hostages. God knows that there is no legitimate reason for that kind of criminal act to take place. None at all. But we do look for catalysts. We do, and who knows? Phil, as we know more and more about mental illness, we realize these are triggers, but calling the trigger the reason is like saying it is the trigger that killed the person and not the bullet. The bullet is what killed the person. the trigger is simply the trigger, and you can put a different trigger, a different caliber weapon, a different size weapon, different rifling, all kinds of different things, but you still have a projectile that's going to kill someone.
I understand, and that's well said.
So I think that's what we need to understand. The trigger is no more the killer of the individual than the caliber of the bullet, saying, well, it was a 35 millimeter or 45 or something like that. So whatever triggers it, but this was the background on this one.
And you were on site reporting for Channel 19. Now, was there an individual, and I'm led to believe, Don, that you were that individual who was able to talk to the shooter?
Well, this is where the stories diverge a bit, but at the same time are very, very similar. Yes, I was. This was a very, very explosive situation, Phil, and if you're ever a reporter in a situation like this, you fear for your safety, you fear for your life. You are recognizing that, yes, I've got a job to do for my television station, I've got a job to do for my viewers, but my goodness, there are lives at stake here. I don't want to make any false move, and I don't want to do anything in the interest of seeking greater glory for myself as a reporter that's going to endanger lives. And that was in my mind as these events began to transpire.
We're talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the Phil Hendry Show as he's discussing his experience with a hostage taker at a middle school in the Inland Empire here in Southern California. This was out. What was the town?
It was the city of Rialto.
And, all right, Rialto.
Yeah, it was. Well, we're talking now well on to 16, 17 years ago, Phil.
Don is, okay, so we got a little perspective there as to the time. It was in the 90s.
That is correct.
And, of course, the 90s was a time when we were not as familiar with these things as we are now. We've had since Columbine. We've had the horrible incidences, the horrible events of Mississippi and Oregon, and God knows ever since then it's become almost, I hate to say it, but you know these bits of news we just we glance at and we just keep going for the comics or the weather or the sports page because they become so commonplace. Don Berman with us here. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Talking about the hostage situation in Georgia, Antoinette Huff and the brilliant and gutsy work that this woman did, a member of the school staff who was there. Talking to this man, calming him down, saving lives, really, and Don Berman and the experience that he had that was similar. Don, I know you're about to launch into your story, so I'm going to take a break here, and then on the other side, we'll get to the nuts and bolts of it.
That would be fine, Phil.
Don Berman with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to mention that our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, is our backstage pass site. That's where our people who listen to the show on a regular basis, people who are fans of the show on a regular basis, could go and meet and listen and take advantage of the archives that we have. We have put on an Excel document some 10,000 shows. Where am I getting this 5,000 hours, man? We've got 10,000, at least 10,000 entries for our show log. So I'm going to, somehow we'll do the math and figure out exactly how many hours does that come out to, man, because that is enormous, and that is exactly what we're working on right now, finishing out our show logs for the Phil Hendry Show website. It's worth it. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. All right, we're going to be back here with Don Berman on the line from Channel 19 News in Hollywood here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back here this Friday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with Don Berman from Channel 19 News, one of our longtime contributors. Don joining us from Channel 19 to talk about this hostage situation that transpired in Georgia and what your own experience has been with similar situations, Don. Our number is 855-500-7445. So tell me, as we sort of track in a parallel way the events in Georgia the other day, of what happened to you. You're at this middle school. You're there for a niece that you were a guardian of, correct?
Yes, that is correct, my niece Terry, and I was there talking to the administration about her being placed in this special ed program.
Okay.
And so the hostage situation took place, and I was in a very precarious position because you don't want to do anything that is going to that's going to make things worse. There I was, a reporter, and I identify very, very strongly with Antoinette Huff. Now, I want to make something very clear. I do not for a moment consider myself to be this woman's equal at all. What she did was above and beyond the call of duty. I would say that we were in similar situations, but she was, I think she acquitted herself brilliantly, and no way would I ever say that I'm Antoinette Huff's equal. I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm just saying that the situations were similar.
Okay, very, very well said.
So as this transpired, I knew that in my own small way, I would have to be somebody's hero. You know, you don't want to be. You don't ask to be, but you know you're going to be someone's hero, and that was my decision. And I got on the horn to Channel 19 and told them that that I was, you know, that I had done this. So one of the things you have to understand, Phil, I was the one that took the hostages. So it puts you in a position.
Well, hold on. You were the one that did what?
I was the one. I was the hostage taker, as well as the individual who was reporting on it. So it puts you in a position that is very. It's first of all, it's unusual.
Well, yeah, it's unusual. You're the hostage taker. So you were reporting on. First of all, I have to ask you. Well, I'm confused.
Well, let me just finish. Yes, you're right. I was, and it is a confusing state of affairs. But it is no different from what Antoinette Huff was going through, Phil, and I've got to be very clear with you. It's no different. I was in a situation that was life and death. I was very tempted to take a life, and I knew that I had to talk to myself about that and talk myself down from that. Because, and there are people who will say...
Well, let me ask you a question here, Don, before we go any further. You took hostages. You're also a reporter. You say it was dangerous.
Well, let me tell you how it was dangerous.
I don't see how this is anything other than a very, you know, a psychotic event.
Well, let me tell you, hold on. Let me, before you start, you know, insulting me...
Well, I'm not trying to insult you.
Well, I let me just tell you that there's the threat of suicide. There's the threat of suicide. So if you say that there was no threat against me, yes, there was. In my own way, and that's what suicide is, I was threatening myself. So I had taken these hostages. I knew it was a very precarious situation because I might kill myself, if not kill others.
I got to ask you a question.
Phil, I would be happy to answer all your questions if you'll just let me get out what I need to say.
Go ahead.
So I got on the horn with Channel 19, and I told them that we have a hostage situation here at the middle school. I said that I'm on site. I am on site. I said, kill all programming, whatever you've got to do, whoever you've got to do, and that's kind of, you know, shorthand. It's crude, but it's newsroom shorthand. I said, whoever you've got to do in whatever state of undress you have to do it in, and forgive the language, but again, this is all shorthand that we use in the news business. I said, you know, get out the butter and get out the, I said, get out the lube and let's lube it up and let's...
This is the way you guys are talking. I understand if you could maybe clean it up a little bit.
I'm sorry, Phil, but we use that shorthand in the television news business. So I said, let's get some lube out and everyone was on it and immediately cut to me. And I said to them, you're going to have to get off of me. And I said, we've got a hostage situation here. Let's go to a break, please. We need to go to... And that's when I got on the horn with our news director, Sandy Grimsby, and I said, I am holding people hostage here myself. And he said to me, that's... He reacted the way you did, and I said, it's very bizarre. It's very unusual. It's dangerous. He said, well, take care of yourself. And that's why I have to tell you, Sandy got it. Now, I can tell you're not really a newsman, Phil. You're an entertainer. I understand that. But Sandy got it, and you don't seem to get it.
Well, what, when he said take care of yourself, what's that supposed to mean?
He understands that I was under the threat. I could die. I could be shot. See what I'm saying? In other words, you have an individual there.
But the individual was you, Don, is all I'm saying.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
All right, Don Berman is with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. The hostage situation in Georgia the other day was one of great peril, great risk, and one of great heroism, as evidenced by the actions of this young lady, Antoinette Tuff, who was a member of the school staff, talking to this hostage taker. Don Berman joins us from Channel 19 News, and he's remembering a similar situation that he was involved in. But you understand, Don...
I know how unusual this is.
But you understand that you're telling me about a hostage situation, and you were the hostage taker.
What I'm telling you is this. It was a dangerous situation, one that I had to be under... I had to have control of, because I was the only communication between the hostage taker... Yes, I know, I was the one that took the hostages, but... I'm telling you that I can identify with this woman and what she was going through.
You identify with this woman and what she was going through. Do you identify with the hostage taker here?
The guy that took the hostages in Georgia?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, he's, you know...
No, I cannot possibly identify with a man that was much different from me. You don't understand. I had gone to the school because my niece had basically been called by the administration and staff of that school, basically, a mouth breather. I hate to put it that way, but that... And so I was angry. Now, I didn't go to that school because of some, excuse my language, but because of some white trash grievance. I don't know what this guy's problem was.
Well, you're putting yourself in a higher category than him?
No, I don't consider myself better than anyone, Phil, but I'm saying that if one look at the guy, you know he wasn't me. I don't think I'm better than him, but you're...
Well, okay, I will tell you that you're a professional and he may not be, but other than that, I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. All right, so continue the story. I just want to say here, though, when an armed man arrived at the McNair Elementary School in Decatur, Georgia, began firing shots, a staff member named Antoinette talked him down. So he arrived, and she talked him down. How is your situation when you're taking the hostages? How's that similar?
I don't see your question again.
Did you see a hostage taker arrive?
I arrived.
Okay, and then you began to talk yourself down?
What you need to do is quit trying to find the joke here, Phil, and listen to what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to find any joke. You said that you were involved with a hostage taker and that your life was in jeopardy.
Just listen to what I'm saying. I decided to take hostages, and I was also a newsman, and I realized that I could be in jeopardy because, hold on, because I can hear you wanting to say something. I was in danger of being shot by the hostage taker, who was me.
Right. Commit suicide.
Whoa, sunshine.
But don't call me sunshine if you don't mind. Well,
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Was I on mic?
Yes, you were. I mean...
Yes, I was. So what I'm saying, Phil, is that sunshine... who was a horse that I had in...
No, we're talking about the hostage.
Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about taking hostages, being at risk of being shot, only in this instance it was me. I took the hostages, I threatened to shoot myself.
And eventually you were taken down by police.
Eventually, yes, I was. I was arrested. The hostage taker was arrested, but also Don Berman was... I'm trying to explain this to you when you're not giving me the opportunity.
All right, Don Berman with us here from Channel 19 News. I got to tell you something. Of all the hostage stories that I hear from time to time, I've never heard one like this.
Well, nobody has, and that's why if people would just give me enough time to tell the story instead of butting in. Yeah.
I don't mean to butt in, Don. Honest, I don't. But I have to ask questions.
Well, you don't mean to butt in, but you do.
I got to ask questions on this one. When you tell me that you were involved in a hostage situation, only you were the hostage taker, that begs a few questions, don't you think?
Yes, it does. And I'm trying to answer those questions. I'm trying to answer those questions for you as best as I can. And the answer to your first question is, how could I possibly be in danger? Because I threatened myself with a gun. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
All right, Don Berman from Channel 19 News. We'll be back with more from him as we discuss this hostage-taking situation he was involved in that he reported on. He talked the hostage-taker down, only it was him that was taking the hostages. That was out in Rialto, California, back in the mid-1990s. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we'll be back. Don't forget to get a backstage pass. Bobby Dooley's podcast dropped today, her exclusive interview with the great Henry Rollins. Check it out. Famous Phil Henry Show with Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the line with us, and we have a very, I shouldn't say a very special guest, but we have a surprise guest for Don here in a moment. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and Don from Channel 19 News. Don, we have somebody who was with you on that day.
I don't want to talk. Excuse me, Phil. I don't want to talk to any cop.
You know what?
I don't want to talk to any cop. Have you got a cop there?
It's not a cop. No, it is not a cop.
Don, this is Margaret Gray. I'm sorry. I know you don't like hearing from me.
Oh, for God's sake. All I want to do...
Well, Don, there are some very big questions about your story. The fact that you took the hostages yourself, and you're trying to couch this in some kind of normality or normalcy or modernity. Modernity.
Modernity is a word that doesn't even apply.
I beg your pardon?
Modernity doesn't apply. It means something modern.
I'm sorry, but I was suffering.
Now, see, this is what I'm talking about, Henry.
All right, let everybody just calm down, all right? If you do it one more time, Margaret, I'll talk to Frank, and we'll have to do something about your contract. I know that I can't break the deal because you belch, but I'm getting sick and tired of listening to it.
Frank was very clear when he negotiated the deal.
Can I just ask a question?
Look, I want to get control of the show first. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I won't be spoken to like I'm a third grader, especially on the air.
Well, that's how I'm talking to you.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Well, what does that mean, what?
What do you want, Don? I'm trying to get to the story here.
Jesus. Never mind.
What do you want? I'll answer your question.
I wanted to know, does she have it written into her deal that she gets to belch on the air?
That we don't discuss that. All right?
Excuse me, the terms of my contract are confidential.
Oh, well, excuse me. I forgot all about that.
Well, it is true, Don. You ought to know that about contractual issues. Okay, our number is 855-500-7445. What do you got going on there?
Got this guy. Yeah, how you doing? Hey.
You know what? I'm at the end of my rope.
I just want to get some coffee. Yeah, that's what I gather you're doing, Don.
Hey, Joey. He's on the air. I can't.
Every time you come over here and do that, you're disturbing me.
What's that?
Every time you do that, you're disturbing me.
Joey, he's getting angry. Come here. Get the coffee. The guy's getting angry.
You better get that under control.
I'm trying. I got a guy over here, he's getting pissed off, you understand?
Hey.
Yes, sir, Mr. Martin. Phil Henry, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm very, very sorry.
Well, you're doing it all the time with this coffee, and it's driving me crazy. First of all, in terms of audio...
I'm sorry, I just got to get one more cup. I forgot. I got another business associate here.
How many more cups do you need?
That's none of your business. Don't worry about it.
None of my business?
Joey, come here. You want to start carrying the coffee?
No, I'm not carrying your coffee.
Come here, will you? Every time I ask this guy...
What do you got? You got some kind of a retard there carrying coffee?
Hey, watch it with that.
Watch it, will you, Don?
You want me to watch it? This guy's pouring coffee. All right, so... Hey, John, would you do something instead of standing there with your finger in your rear end? How about putting some paper in a coffee machine? All right, Phil.
I didn't mean to upset you.
Well, you've upset me, okay?
Don, you've upset us with this...
Am I talking to you or her?
To me. Margaret, please.
Excuse me for a minute. Hey, Johnny, put some paper in the coffee machine. Not the coffee machine. You don't know the difference between... So, thank you very much, Phil. It's great to be on your show.
All right. Everybody calm down. I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were in the middle of...
I'm in the middle of it every night, man. I got a newscast I got to put out. All right. So, what do you want to know?
Well, Margaret has the question.
Go ahead.
All I want to know is the following. You were arrested because you took hostages.
I was arrested technically because I did technically take a hostage. And all I did was turn around and I locked the door and I said to the woman behind the counter, she was working the reception there in the administration building, and I said, you're going to talk to me, and if you don't, I said, somebody back there in one of those offices is going to, and I said, if they don't, I'll get all the way to the president of the school board. I said, but I'm going to take it out of somebody's rear end if I don't, you know, get to talk. And that's what they thought was a threat of violence.
Well, it is a threat of violence.
Oh, Phil, it was simply a threat of... I wasn't threatening to kill anybody. It's an old saying. I'm going to take it out of your... Did your father ever say that to you?
Yeah, and then he was going to tan my hide.
All right, so I was going to tan somebody's hide. You take a look at some of these old ladies that got working in there. Well,
oh, that, you know something? You've got no respect for yourself. You have no respect for other people.
Why? Because I said an old lady looks like she'd really appreciate it if she got her ass spanked. I have no...
Let's not get into that kind of a discussion, if you don't mind.
I don't mean to say it, but you just went, let's not get this.
It did sound like there's a Tourette thing.
Yeah, there was a Tourette.
You know, Don, I'm going to make this statement, and then we'll see just how ha-ha everything is. I think you belong in a mental institution because of what you did.
Well, guess what? I'm way ahead of you. I spent time in a mental institution because of what I did. I got a clean bill of health. And I was, and actually, it was only a 72-hour hold. You want to know why?
Yeah, I'd sure like to know why.
Because all I did was lock a door and say I'm going to kick someone's ass if I don't. And they arrested me for making a threat. This was before there were the days of terrorist threats. You understand?
So you could say something like that, but it wasn't a terrorist threat.
Yeah, there you go. And so they put me on a 72-hour hold at L.A. County, and they let me out.
Well, what was this whole thing with the hostage situation?
Well, what was this whole thing?
Yeah, I know, Sam. Your voice is all squeaking.
You gotta calm down.
What was the whole thing with the hostage situation?
The whole thing with the hostage situation was that I called up my newsroom.
So, in other words, the police weren't called at all?
The police were eventually called, yes.
How many responding... how many cops were there?
I don't know. Maybe one or two black and whites. See, this is what you guys wouldn't let me explain. You're just... You're barreling in. You're bearing in on me. You won't shut up. You won't let me explain. When I said a hostage situation, it was figuratively a hostage situation, and I was figuratively the hostage taker. And yes, figuratively, I could have killed myself.
Did you have a gun?
No, I didn't have a gun.
Then how are you going to kill yourself?
Hello, you can jump off of a... You can do... You know, you can kill yourself any which way.
Yeah, but you're in a school, it's only one story.
I could have climbed on the roof of the building and dove head first.
Well, your arms are going to break your fall.
No, not if I kept them pinned at my side and made a solemn oath to myself. See, you people...
You know, Don, you're talking to us like we're nuts. So you're going to dive off the roof of the school.
Yes, that's high enough. Believe me when I tell you, my friend. If I wanted to kill myself by jumping off the roof of the school, which is only one story high, I'd do it head first with my arms pinned at my side.
And how are you going to do that?
By swearing a blood oath to myself. I swear I won't move my arms. Now, that was the theoretical idea of killing myself. I never did it, and I would never in a million years think of doing it, nor would I ever in a million years think of hurting anyone. Was it a hostage situation? After I'd locked that door, I realized it was.
And so the first thing you did was what? To talk to the school, to...
No, I called the TV station.
Yeah, right there is what I call a very mercenary move. It was very calculated. You scared those people to death, and your whole point was to get publicity for yourself.
No, didn't I say at the very beginning that I did not want that?
You might have said that, but that was not what your actions appeared to have dictated. What your actions show is that you were interested in the publicity. It was the first call you made was your TV station. All right, Don... You know,
the first call I made my TV station, you're using slobber speak there.
Yeah, I'm saying you said no slobber speak.
What is slobber speak?
I told them to tell me if I'm fracturing the English language.
What is slobber speak?
That's what we called it.
call it slobber speak, then you send it to me in a memo.
Slobber speak. So in other words, you're mocking...
No, it was not... Just never mind, you guys. By the way, Don, Antoinette Huff and what she did and the lives she saved and the people that she saved...
Hold on. I'm sorry. You guys are making way too much noise in here. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm on the radio with Phil Hendry, and I want you to keep your big fat mouth shut! Look at that. Do you see that? Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
You're still here talking, don't you?
Not much.
Oh, you asses. Hey, you guys in the back. You guys, yeah. I'm on the... What the hell are you doing? Well, I'm awfully sorry, but... I just told these guys to shut up and...
So, Don, the next time we talk...
Yeah, if there is a next time, because if there's a hostage taking tonight, I would suggest you direct any emergency vehicles to Channel 19. Hey, wait a minute. What kind of a... What are you...
Did you hang up on him?
No.
All right. I've been through this so many times with Don, I doubt seriously if it's anything that's going on.
Yeah, I think he did it for dramatic effect.
No problem.
But I want to have him called during the break anyway. Do you mind?
No, sir. I don't mind at all.
I mean, it is your job. Why am I asking you if you mind?
No.
All right, anyway. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, 855-500-7445. We'll be back to talk with Don Berman a little bit more about this issue. We've got other news to get to tonight. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show here at the El Pacifico. Sorry, our broadcast originates on the West Coast here every night from 7 to 10 Pacific, 10 to 1 Eastern Time. And philhendryshow.com, where we stream live video of our show. We have a video cast on Phil TV every night at the aforementioned times. And if you have a backstage pass, you can watch this thing on video. And I say thing because it can at times, I'm told it's pretty scary to watch. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're still, you're making cut. Did you talk to Don?
Yeah, I talked. He's did a phone. So it fell.
I can't hear you, bud.
Get up to the microphone.
He said the phone fell.
The phone fell. This guy had better knock it off with trying to be Mr. Dramatic, you know?
Yeah, I thought he was doing that on purpose, man.
He said he wasn't.
No, he's trying to be Mr. Dramatic. Ooh, the phone disconnected. Maybe somebody just got killed or something.
Absolutely irresponsible.
You tell him to knock that crap off, bud. You understand?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, hey, Don, you gotta knock the crap off.
Don't do it now. Let me talk to him. Don? No, we're not on the air. No, we're not on the air. Because I want to talk to you about something. Well, I'm on the air, yeah, but you're not. Huh? I'm on the air, but you're not. Because I've got your put. Don't ask me how I'm doing it. I'll talk to you in a second. I got a promo to do. Here, talk to him, will you?
Yeah, Don.
Can you be quiet, man, and let me do what I'm doing?
Just shut. Go in the other room.
The extension cord doesn't stretch.
Put him on hold.
Probably going to hang up.
I don't care if he hangs up. What, is everybody mental? Everybody here is 3 years old or something?
Phil, Don, if you put him on hold, he'll think he's being cut off.
Is everyone here 3 years old? Tell him to hang on. I'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, gotta hang on. He'll get to you in a minute.
Don't do it on the air while I'm on the air, man.
Why I do it?
Give me the phone.
You're gonna do it?
Give me the... Hey, Don, hang on. We'll be with you in a second. Thank you. There, that's how you do it.
He was doing that.
He was too loud. Don't say that I was too loud, because I get to be too loud. I'm the host of the show.
That's right.
Anyway, welcome back here. Our number is 855. I can't even remember what our number is. 855-500-7445. As a matter of fact, one of the great things, maybe the only great thing that has happened here in the last couple of weeks, is that I actually remember the new phone number, because the last time that we had a new phone number, I didn't, and I was given the old phone number for 6 months. Thank you. All right, so what we have here is Don Berman. He'll be on with us in just a moment. Bobby Dooley the Bobby Dooley podcast has just dropped a new podcast. If you guys are interested, we do a podcast. We do a podcast daily for our website. It's the Classic Podcast. I'm not talking about our show. This is our show, and this is available as a podcast. But we have a classic podcast from our archives. And one of them is a freebie. Every Monday, we have our free classic podcast. And every Friday, we have our Bobby Dooley podcast. Henry Rollins is Bobby's guest this week. People in the past that she's interviewed, Patricia Arquette, Joel McHale, Jay Moore, Kevin Pollak, Craig Bierko, great actor, Sugar Ray Leonard. That was amazing.
Yeah, Sugar Ray, man, he was blown away.
Bobby and Sugar Ray got along great, and so many other, Rick Overton, Jimmy Pardo, it's been some great ones, so check out the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's available at iTunes and SoundCloud and a bunch of other really cool and groovy places. All right, Don, let's get him back here. I want to answer, Don, and I don't want a big fancy thing, and I'm not trying to talk down to you. Why did the phone disconnect?
Because I dropped the phone. I told him.
You weren't trying to create some kind of a dramatic effect.
No, I wasn't trying to create a dramatic effect.
Then why did it come right at the end of my break? Right at the end of my segment, I mean.
Right at the end of your break?
At the end of the segment, Don.
Am I talking to the host or you?
You're talking to me, Don.
All right, then why did I hear her?
Take it easy, Margaret, will you?
You know, Don, so I don't know when and I don't know where, but one of these days, you and I are going to meet up and there won't be any witnesses.
You heard that, Phil.
Come on.
You heard what she just said.
Watch it, will you?
I mean it.
You heard what? Now that's the second time she's uttered a threat.
You're gonna put me in a bad position, Margaret. Just be quiet. I don't appreciate the theatrics, Don. You can take pretend like you're taking hostages. That's up to you.
I didn't pretend like I took a hostage. I told you that I locked the door. I walked in.
You gave me 45 minutes of you in a hostage situation, and it was you, and you were threatening to kill yourself.
Well, these are all things that are... I'll tell you something. In the modern day and age of news gathering, let me just explain something to you, because a newsman is not what you are. And there are very few people that understand the news business. And let's start with you talk show hosts. You guys really give me a royal pain. Boy, I'll tell you. You really do.
Why? Because we're know-it-alls?
There you go. You're know-it-alls. You guys think you're journalists? You're no more a journalist than I am a nuclear physicist, all right? So you guys need to leave this to me. I'm Don Berman. I won the Emmys. Did you?
Don, what we have here...
No, did you win any Emmys?
No, I did not.
Okay. I'm Don Berman of Channel 19 News. We won Emmys, Goldie Showers, and the 5 o'clock weather. You know our track record. You know it all.
Yes, and we also know that Goldie changed his name to Golden after he won those Emmys. And I think that is vile, it is crude, and it is juvenile.
I have no control over what he does. If he wants to change his name to Golden...
You know full well you have control over that. You guys let him change his name back to what it was, his birth name... What parent would give their kid the name Golden with a last name like that?
I don't know. Why don't you go look them up? They live in a trailer park or something like that in Arkansas. I don't know. It's not my business. All I know is the kid won an Emmy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't fire guys like that. I don't care if his name is Bowel Movement. I don't care if his name...
All right, I understand.
So the point is, when this thing happened out there in Rialto, I was Johnny on the spot, lickety-split, I was on the phone. Now, no, you're right, I was not being taken hostage. You're right that I was not being taken hostage, that in point of fact it was me taking myself hostage and it wasn't really a hostage situation, and that I was figuratively pointing a gun at my own head, and that any threat to life and limb I was suffering was because of me threatening to kill myself, but I didn't have a gun.
You were going to jump off the roof of the school.
Yeah, with your arms pinning your side, who's going to pin them down?
What?
Who's going to pin your arm down?
Who's going to pin my arm down?
He's asking if you were going to dive off the roof of a school. All right, I got the gist.
I told you I'd swear a blood oath to myself.
Yeah, that you'd keep your arms at your side and you'd hit the cement and you'd die that way.
That's exactly right. I'm just telling you, you can kill yourself any which way. Believe you me, friend, you can kill yourself any which way. I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. Thank you very much, Phil.
Then what was the end result, by the way, of you... Did he hang up?
Yeah, he said he'd give us 7 minutes, that was it.
Isn't that nice? Next time that guy wants a spot on the show, you tell him we're busy, okay?
Well, Phil, Don Berman's one of the biggest newsmen in the city.
I don't give a damn. Do I look like I care? He just hung up on me. First of all, he disconnects to make it sound like something violent happened. Now he just hung up on me because... why? Oh, because he... Is that him?
Yeah.
All right, I'm back. Okay. You feel better? What do you want to know?
Goodbye.
Oh, you're not going to hang...
There, I hung up on him.
You guys are like a couple of little boys, you know that?
Margaret.
No, you're like a little couple of little boys.
Phil Hendry's show here.
Get out, Margaret.
You cut it out and shut up. That's what you sound like. Everybody do the thing that he said.
You done?
Yes.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just get rid of everybody. You, him, and I'll just do this thing by myself.
You'd never make it a day. You wouldn't last 24 hours without all of this help. You've got three bodies in the studio here, all of these guests. You, Phil Henry, you are nothing. Absolutely nothing without the other people that bring their talents to the table each and every night. And I think that's something you need to remember. As a matter of fact, if you've got the guts, and only if you have the guts, I'd like to bring David Hall on to talk about that.
I'm sure you would, but I have another guest to bring on, Doug Danger, and we're going to discuss Batman.
Oh, Batman, well, woo! We have to discuss Batman. Woo!
Hey, man, Batman! Hey, wait, look up in the sky. It's a bird. Now, wait a minute, that's Superman. Batman crawled around on the floor.
Go ahead and get your kicks. You'll be sorry, man. All right, we're coming back. We have Ben Affleck is going to be taking on the role of Batman. It's gotten the so-called Twitterverse a Twitter. And why is that? I don't know. It's, for some reason, people think it's funny that Ben Affleck's going to play Batman. And let's just find out exactly whether or not that's a good thing, a bad thing, or if anybody cares. Let's find out from Doug Danger as we rate the Batman down through Batman, that is, down through the years. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And by the way, I muted the segment, and some people will be pissed at me when I go to Twitter tonight. Back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. It's hour two here on this Friday night. We thank Don Berman from Channel 19 News for jumping on with us as potentially disastrous as that was. And if ever there was a guy that deserved to have his credentials looked at anew, it's Don. And the reason why I say is we've got a couple of journalists with us tonight. Don Berman last hour, Doug Danger this hour. Doug is an entertainment writer, and we're going to be talking about Batman. There have been many and movies, and there have been many Batmen, the first of which that we all remember, I suppose, from my generation forward would be Adam West on the television show. And then, of course, we had Michael Keaton. I believe after Michael Keaton came Val Kilmer, and then between Val Kilmer and Christian Bale, or was it between Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer?
I forget, to be honest. I know that George Clooney.
George Clooney, I forget where he actually fell in the chronology. Nonetheless, we now have Ben Affleck, and that is going to be the subject of our discussion here with Doug Danger. Our number 855-500-7445, or online at philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass, bang! You're into the inner workings, into the guts of the world famous Phil Henry Show. You're into the guts of what we like to think of as one of the greatest radio shows in the history of man on this planet, only because it's our show. But we would certainly take that argument to the Hall of Fame, baseball, radio, football, hockey, whichever one. All right, remember, philhenryshow.com is the place to go. Also, if you want to hear just a regular old stream of our archives for free, you can go to philhenryradio.com. We've got a couple of websites. I also want to do a quick shout out to my very deep, personal, wonderful friends there in Miami, SouthFloridaRadio.com, George Rodriguez and the crew. Had a great time talking to those guys today on the air. What a ball, man.
I'll bet you no time has passed when you talk to those idiots. And I say idiot affectionately.
No time has passed at all. No, it's like we were right back there in South Florida on the Isle of Dreams, man. WIOD. Okay, with me, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we discuss Ben Affleck and the new Batman. Here's a guy, Doug. And by the way, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, real good. Thank you for having me on.
Here's a guy, Ben Affleck, who is a director. He's a producer. He is a writer. He is not a bad actor. This guy brings all kinds of stuff to the table and now takes on the role of one of the more successful franchises in movie history, the role of Batman, and they haven't been able to hang with one for a long time. Why is that?
Well, I think you start out with Michael Keaton, Phil. Michael Keaton, it was Michael Keaton's to lose. It was all his. If you imagine, you can think about Michael Keaton, who has not exactly set the world on fire with his acting career, And I say that, and you know, I'm a film critic, I'm an entertainment critic, but I'm also a gay man and a gay journalist, which gives me a little bit, and the reason why I say that is it gives me a little bit more honesty, I think, when you live in the world as a gay man, as a gay journalist, you see the hypocrisy around you, you begin to speak the truth, because you want to get to the truth as fast as you can. You need to be on a fast track to the truth as a gay man, gay journalist, or if you're black, or if you're any kind of minority, so... I'm gay, and the first thing I need to do is look at where is the truth, because I'm gay, and I've got to get to that truth as fast as I can. I don't have time to fool around like a straight person would. So when I look at Michael Keaton, first thing I say is, here's a guy that took a career that was almost like a beautiful piece, a beautiful cut of steak, and Michael Keaton took that beautiful cut of steak and tied it on a string and hung it out the window of his car and dragged it along the ground and the dirt and the asphalt, and then at the end looked at it and said, gee, do I want to eat this? No, and threw it away.
Well, that's a pretty graphic...
Well, I mean, I need to be graphic.
So the point is he consciously...
No, I wouldn't say consciously, no.
Well, when you say he tied a nice piece of steak to a string...
Well, yeah, it sounds like it was conscious. I think that in Michael Keaton's mind, that was the thing to do. You know, that was the smart thing to do. Take his career... as if it was a cut of steak, a beautiful porterhouse, tie it to a string, hang it out the window of his car, and go slowly up the on-ramp of a freeway where, let's say, William Bonin's victims had been found.
All right, Doug, I know that you're a very, you know...
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that you're a very colorful writer. Do we have to... I don't want to get into the freeway strangler, okay?
What I'm trying to tell you, this is very, very important. I'm sorry that you don't like the imagery that I'm using. I'm trying to tell you that Michael Keaton took the Batman job and lifted his leg to it.
All right, let's just say that.
I think that's descriptive enough, if you don't mind me saying.
No, all right, that's descriptive enough. Michael Keaton took the Batman job, the Batman opportunity, the Batman role, if you will, and he lifted his leg to it. Now, you laid it out very well, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and off the top of my head, I can think of Val Kilmer, Christian Bale, George Clooney, and the new guy here, Ben Affleck. It was a little bit difficult for you to remember. Why is that?
I was trying to remember them in order.
Well, you were trying to remember them. Why would you want to do that?
I was trying to remember how did they roll out.
Well, in that case, then it would be Christian Bale, Christian Bale...
It wasn't Christian Bale.
Yeah, it was Christian Bale, Batman. Not Batman.
It was Val Kilmer. It was then George Clooney, I believe.
No. Let me ask you this.
Why are you arguing about this?
I just want to know what the chronology is. That's all. It's not all that important, but I suppose what it does teach you is what were the producers learning along the way?
Well, that's a good point. All right, so let's say that Michael Keaton is gone, and let's say the next guy they hired was George Clooney. That shows you that they were going from great, and they sunk right into a sewer right off the bat.
See, I disagree with that.
Why?
I don't know that George Clooney was such a bad pick. I cannot believe that. I just don't believe it, because I've seen George Clooney, and he's a damn good actor, and there's no way in hell that George Clooney was, quote, a bad pick. I don't think whoever was directing that knew how to direct, didn't know how to use what he brings to the table. Clooney brings a lot of intelligence. He also brings a pretty hard-ass, kick-ass, kind of older guy kick-ass sort of image.
Well, maybe that was it. Maybe they thought they hired a guy who was too old. But then you had Val Kilmer, who was great. And then you had Christian Bale, who was starting to get to where they should be with the Batman franchise. Because here's the point that I'm trying to make. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, my job is to get to the truth and to get to it fast, because there's so much baloney and there's so much bull. And it's being written by people that are so immersed in the world of bull and baloney that they don't even know anymore that they're writing nothing but pure bull. So as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have to say, I got to stick my head up through the baloney and say, let's breathe the air of free men. And I'll tell you this right now. They're making a big mistake going from Christian Bale to Ben Affleck, because Christian Bale started to take us to the dark side where we need to be with Batman. Batman, at the beginning and at the end, is an emotionally disturbed man. We know this because he was traumatized in the story of Batman, as Bruce Wayne, he was traumatized as a little boy when he saw his parents get killed by the Joker. So you need an actor that can reflect that insanity. And Ben Affleck is not the guy. Ben Affleck is a good, clean-cut, crisp, wholesome, fresh kid from wherever he's from. I don't know. Is he from Boston?
I don't know. I don't know where he's from.
Well, he's not mental. You want an actor that's going to work. I've got a list of actors that would work as Batman, and that's why I'm going to make a proposal here that I think is perhaps it's outrageous, but hey, stranger things have been done. Somebody needs to take control of that project. I would love to do it. I would love to be considered to take control of that project and bring on board people that are going to work in the roles that they're assigned.
So you're offering to direct?
I am, yes. At this time, I would be offered to direct and co-produce.
All right, we're going to get back to Doug Danger. I think they've already picked out directors and...
Oh, they've already got everyone hired.
Well, we'll see. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier talking with us here about his proposal to help direct and produce Batman. Well, he says that the casting is bad, that Ben Affleck... I like Ben Affleck. He doesn't... he's not crazy enough. That's what he's saying. Now, what's his name? Christian Bale. Now, that guy starts to get you to the point of crazy man that you need to get to. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back here. And philhenryshow.com in just a moment. World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are your news talk and underlined entertainment show for all of the planet Earth, at least this sector of it, North America, and we're at the El Pacifico here, so we got our backs to the ocean. Not that we're getting ready to leave, but, you know, it's always nice to take a
midnight swim.
A midnight swim, there you go. Welcome back. Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about Ben Affleck and the choice of him as Batman. Now, Bud Dickman tells me that we have a man on the line, Warren Benman. Mr. Benman was going to call in last hour.
Yeah, he's going to call.
Close to the mic, Bud.
Sorry. Mr. Benman, and he was going to call last hour, but he was afraid to.
What was he afraid of?
He was just of Don Berman.
He was afraid of Don Berman. Now, did you get Mr. Berman on the line?
Yeah.
All right, let me get on the line. Doug, I know you're there. Doug, you there? Pull up, Doug. Doug, are you there? Doug, okay, that's kind of wild. You're going to have to make sure we have Doug Danger with us. Do we have Don Berman? Is this Mr. Benman?
Yeah.
All right, and Don Berman, are you there?
I'm right here, sir, yeah. Warren, how are you? Warren, how are you?
All right, hold on for a minute. Where's Doug Danger? Doug, you there?
Well, I'm right here. I'm sorry. I was stepped away. I heard that you had a couple of other people, and I'm a little bit confused because this is my hour.
No, I understand. I want to have you with us here, but Mr. Benman called last hour, and this is something relevant to what we were talking about. I hope you understand as a professional.
No, as a matter of fact, no, I don't, because, and here's why. Excuse me, Doug, this is Don Berman. I'm a... Channel 19? I know you are. Well, I don't want to get too... this won't take very long. Is Warren Benman there?
Can't go here.
All right, Warren, what do you want to know?
I want to tell Mr. Henry.
What do you want to tell Mr. Henry?
I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Mr. Henry now.
All right, he wants to talk to me.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you, but he's going to lie like a...
I'm not going to come lie about what you did.
Hey, I just want to know what he's going to say in case he starts lying like some of these people do. He's mentally not... he's like a lot of these people that are mentally unfit. They lie to try to get out of being punished for stealing things.
I didn't steal anything to talk about when you did.
All right, hold on for a minute, okay, Don, so I can talk to him?
So you can listen to his lies. All right, yes, sir. Go ahead, listen to his lies. Well, this is Doug Danger. This is getting interesting. Yeah, I'm sure it is getting interesting.
All right, I'm going to put both of these gentlemen on hold.
You're going to put me on hold?
All right, now I have on the line here Mr. Benman. I'm sorry, Warren, we have you here, and we were being interrupted there by those other two guys. Can I ask you, first of all, my understanding is you're not mentally impaired. You were neurologically damaged?
That's right, because because that's what happened to me. I fell off the tower.
You fell off of a broadcast tower?
Yes, sir.
Good Lord.
And went down to get hit. Did a hit on the head.
Got hit on the head. All right, so what happened to you with the Don Berman?
Well, Mr. Berman, he took the hostages over there at the school. You know, in school.
You were in the school at the time?
Yeah, I was in the mess room and he pistol whipped me.
He pistol whipped you?
Mm-hmm.
Did he pistol whip you with a pistol?
It was a pretend water pistol.
A water pistol?
Yeah, because he did. I've got a gun. And he said, no, you have the water pistol. And I went after him, and he hit Ben, had a handful of nickels.
Oh, he had a handful of nickels. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
So he had a roll of nickels?
Yeah, it was a roll.
Well, what did he have? What do you mean he had a water pistol?
Damn, he had a water pistol.
Yeah, he had a water pistol with me, he had a water pistol.
What is going... Get him back on the phone. All right, Don, I'm sure you heard this gentleman's comments.
Yeah, gentlemen, let's just go ahead and put that. You know, Warren, I didn't pistol whip you. I told you I had a water pistol, and I went, see, ha-ha. And you made a run at me, didn't you?
Yeah, because I thought you were going to hurt a lady.
I wasn't going to hurt anybody. He jumped me, and I reacted.
So did you pistol whip him?
Hold on for just a minute. What am I hearing in the background?
You know what I'm hearing. You get it.
Yeah, so you're still doing that job at the arcade, huh? Are you still making change for people?
Yeah.
You need a roll of nickels?
You're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Don, let's...
You are getting in trouble.
Okay, Don, let's act like adults here.
I'm acting like an adult, Phil. I settled out of court with this guy. He's coming on the air.
You can settle out of court, good.
He's coming on the air to embarrass me and make me look like a horse's ass. All right, I did what I did. I did what I did.
You made it sound as if you did not commit any act of violence.
I did not commit any act of violence when this retard, excuse me for saying, made a run at me.
Let's not use the word. This gentleman was injured in a fall from a broadcast tower.
Yeah, sure. All right, if you want to buy that.
That would, because that could be against you in jeopardy any day.
Oh, here he goes again. He keeps, every year he leaves a message with me, you're still up for jeopardy. Every year.
What do you mean every year?
Every year, Warren, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to reception.
He leaves a message at the reception desk at Channel 19, are you still up for jeopardy? And that's his way of saying, I'll take you down anytime, any place, anywhere. I'm not about to embarrass some poor guy that slobbers.
You know, I Don, I think that you sound like such a little man when you go into these little fits, a man that slobbers.
Well, you know, look, here's a guy that calls up after I've settled this thing and goes through it all over again.
Well, we didn't hear about it. So you hit him with a roll, with a handful of nickels.
He ran at me. He was coming at me.
You could talk about pistol.
It was a water pistol, you clown. A water pistol.
Don't die.
How do you understand what this guy's saying? I have...
All right. Warren, I appreciate it very much, and I hope I see you and Don on Jeopardy soon, because I would love to see Don get his ass kicked by you.
Warren, you love it to me, too.
Now, you know what? When the nuns go ice skating with the...
All right, and thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Good night.
Wow.
So, he hit that man...
Yeah, he said he got pistol whipped.
Pistol whipped? You don't get pistol whipped. A plastic water pistol. That's not what... He didn't get pistol whipped. He got beat up with a roll of nickels in Don's hand because he jumped Don. Don Berman is lucky he's got a job. He's lucky he's out walking around free. All right, let's get back to... sorry, Doug. Doug Danger is on the line with us. I apologize, but I wanted to get that out of the way.
Don Berman should not call himself a fellow journalist at all, because he is not a fellow journalist to me. He is a criminal. He is a criminal with an anchorman job. That's what I call him. That's unbelievable. And I'm going to make it my business to find out what that settlement was for.
When you find out, leave me a message, will you?
I will.
All right. So we're talking about the new Batman movie and Ben Affleck's role as as the new Batman. You say it's miscasting.
I think it's totally miscasting, and I'll tell you why I think it's miscasting, Phil. I think it's because Ben Affleck is, as I said, Phil, a pretty well-balanced-looking guy. It looks like he's got his thing together. He looks like he's a family man, you know. He's a father. He's a husband. There's nothing really bent or out of shape about this guy. If I'm casting for Batman, I'm looking for a guy that is walking on the edge. I'm looking for an actor that can get right into the skin of Bruce Wayne. Now, think about Bruce Wayne. We've often talked about this since since Michael Keaton first took to the screen as Batman. This is a guy that is, you know, there's an old saying, bat crap crazy. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's exactly what Batman is. He's bat crap crazy. And you need an actor, Tom Sizemore. There's a guy that I would come up with. Tom Sizemore is a good Batman. Haley Joel Osment isn't old enough and may not be the exact type, but Haley Joel Osment is about as nutty as they come. I think that guy's walking on the edge. Mel Gibson. Why not Mel Gibson? You know,
Mel Gibson's not going to take. Mel Gibson's a big-time director producer now. There's no way.
Oh, really? Is that right? Because the last I heard, this guy, you know, he's going to be in hard pressed to find anybody who wants to work for him.
I doubt that seriously. I think Mel Gibson's not going to have a problem making a living as a director at all. However, I completely agree with you.
All right, how about this one? This, in my opinion, is the man, Owen Wilson. This guy tried to pop his own cork. You know, and,
okay, but let's have a little bit of respect, okay?
Oh, you know, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, though. I don't detour around the truth. If you want to detour around the truth, you sit down with all the straight people and you do that. I'm gay, okay? You want to detour around the truth, you go ahead and get with all the straight people. When it comes to getting to the truth, when it comes to talking about Owen Wilson as Batman, I'm gay. I don't think that's all I need. You know I'm gay, right?
Yes, I do. We'll be right back here with... Let's take a break. We'll be right back here with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on who would make a great Batman. And he has proposed Tom Sizemore. He has proposed Mel Gibson. He has proposed Owen Wilson. Because he says all of these guys are nuts. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Right here. Can you hear me? Yeah. So, all right, now that we have that figured out, DC can hear me, I can hear them, and you hear me? All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And welcome back. It is a Friday night, man. Maybe it's good that it's Friday night, you know what I'm saying?
I think everyone needs the weekend to rest.
Our number is 855-500, what?
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Well, then why did you blow it off?
I'm not blowing it off, Margaret. Take it easy, man, okay? Just take it easy.
I don't like being called man, but I'm...
Yo, just take it easy.
Don't you talk to me.
Both of you. Welcome back. Like I said, I'm glad it's Friday. 855-500-7445. Before we get back here, I have more interruptions on this show tonight. I don't know what this is about. We got David G. Hall giving us a call this evening from somewhere out in Pasadena. David, how are you doing tonight? David?
Hey, Phil. I'm sorry to bother you. I got a call from Margaret. And, you know, Margaret was uncomfortable to bring this up with you herself. So I hope you don't mind.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry, and I know we're on the air, but you said it was fine if I called you.
Yeah, but, you know, we're averaging about 3 calls a week from you.
If you want me to cut down on the calls, I will.
I would like that, yeah.
You're serious?
Yes, I am.
I thought you would say, no, that's okay.
No, I'm not saying, no, that's okay. I'm saying cut it down from 3 a week.
To what?
To how about none?
All right, well, I was going to softball this, but if you want to play it that way... She said that she's uncomfortable with the fact that during the commercial breaks, you're sticking your hand in your pants.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up.
Let me tell you something, okay?
That's what she said.
I was playing softball this past week, and I got injured. I played catcher, and I took a foul tip, and I don't need to tell you where, okay? So I'm trying to loosen the area a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, you got a lady there, man. You got to still, just shove your hand down there.
I mean, Phil, you're in full view of me. You're just like working your, you are working it in there.
Yeah, pretty much, Mr. Harry.
No, I'm not. First of all, I'm sitting down. My waist is below the edge of the table. You can't see anything.
Well, I can see your arm going down there and you moving around, and my mind is imagining what's going on.
Yeah, see, you're giving her fodder for her imagination.
Oh, well, get out of here, will you? I'm sorry, but it's, you know, I went to the doctor, and he said everything's cool, but I gotta
air it out.
Why don't you tell that to shut...
Hey, watch it.
I'll kick your ass, you know I will.
Hey.
Hey, you know, all I'm doing is I'm just asking you to, if you wouldn't mind, be a little less demonstrative with the way you're sticking your hand in your... Man.
Oh, listen to you, man. Listen to you. Every time you call a show, you're out with your girlfriend, and if you see a donut shop, guess what? End of phone call.
What's that supposed to mean?
What it's supposed to mean is I don't think you have the priority of this radio show above and beyond at all, man. You're slowing. And what is this thing about you slowing down to 40 miles an hour and she jumps out of the car?
Because I don't want to waste the gas. Never mind.
Okay. If he calls again, I don't want to put him right on, even if he wants to be put right on the air.
You're serious?
I'm very serious, yeah, because when he hangs up, like anybody that hangs up in the middle of talking to me, after I've given them the time to be talking on the air in the first place, I don't want to talk to him again. You understand? Not at least until I screen the call during a break. You understand?
Yes.
Totally?
Yes.
You're sure? Because Phil is being very definite.
Hey, Margaret, I'll do it, okay? Benedict Arnold.
What did you say?
I said you're calling him up on the hotline and telling him all kinds of stuff before you bring it up with me.
What am I supposed to say to you, Phil? Phil, would you mind not putting your hand down there and working it around? God,
I'm not working it around. What? Folks, I was playing some baseball, and as anybody that's ever played catcher, if you get a foul tip off of the what you, I don't even care if you are wearing a cup. Okay.
Well, be graphic, why don't you?
That's not graphic. No, that's not graphic. I don't care if you are wearing a cup. It hurts. And as it turns out, you know, I decided to have it checked out because I want to make sure, the older I get, I want to make sure that everything is in prime working order, if you know what I mean.
Yay.
Thank you.
What's that idiot applauding?
Take it easy. All right, let me get back to Doug Danger here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, getting less world-famous as the time goes on. All right, Doug, thanks for holding on.
Hey, well, you know, whatever, man. I mean, I've been interrupted twice now on this thing.
All right, I'm sorry. Let's get back to your idea that Batman is bat-crap crazy, that Bruce Wayne is a mental case, that he was traumatized as a kid, and so therefore the actor that plays him should be equally nuts. Now, wouldn't it be something to consider that an actor is an actor because he knows how to play a lot of different characters, even ones that are psycho?
Well, you know, I think that maybe you're right, Phil, but let's face it. It always is better to get a gay character to play a gay man. For instance, if I'm a gay man, gay journalist, I'm gay. If there's a character in the movies who's gay, you know, then I want to get a gay in there. Now look at Milk. You know, that movie was a success.
Wait, what do you mean Milk?
Yes.
I'm saying Milk.
Sean Penn's gay, huh?
Are you trying to tell me that he turned in a performance? Well, I don't know if Sean, maybe he's not, but I tell you, that was one hell of a great performance.
So he's got to be gay.
Well, I don't see how it's possible, but let's say it isn't Sean Penn. Franco, you don't think he's gay. Josh Brolin, you don't think half of those guys, I know a lot of those actors, they got to play all those parts, a lot of them was gay. They got to be gay. There's no way to go. You're going to get a white guy to play a black guy?
That's different. That's different.
Why is that different?
Because there's a cosmetic. There's an actual visual effect that has to be, obviously, that has to be shown. You have to show an African-American character as being black because it is a physical manifestation as well as a cultural, psychological. There's a lot of things there, okay?
And you're saying gay isn't. Brother, if you haven't been to the gay pride parade lately. You haven't been into a boot shop lately. If you don't think gay is a physical manifestation, then you haven't seen the run on chaps.
All right, our number 855, I haven't seen the run on chaps.
I'm just saying to you.
855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Doug Danger on with us from the Orange County Courier about the new Batman. You believe that we should have a psychologically impaired actor of some kind. That's what you wrote here in your column. Now, you've got Tom Sizemore. Tell me about Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore has had problems with drugs. He's had problems with the police. He's had problems with his relationships. Tom Sizemore is a very successful actor.
And for people who don't know who Tom Sizemore is, he was a character from Heat. He played the sergeant.
Yeah, he played the sergeant in Saving Private Ryan. He was the sergeant that accompanied the Lieutenant Miller, played by Tom Hanks. He was his loyal sergeant. Tom Sizemore plays these kind of tough, rough characters. He's also Scagnetti in that movie. What was that thing? I forget what it's called.
Oh, Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, Natural Born Killers.
Okay.
So Tom Sizemore, I think, is a Batman if ever you found one. He's a psycho. This guy looks like he'd bite the head off a bat. He looks like he would eat pigeon, raw, living pigeon, each day. And if I was the director, I would try to do everything in my power to keep that going, to foster that. The other actor that I had in mind for this is Haley Joel Osment. Now, I know Haley Joel Osment might not be tall enough. I don't know. How old is he? Do you know?
I have no idea.
He's a teenager now.
Well, yeah, he's like 19 or something.
I think Haley Joel Osment is a lot older. I think he's like 21 or 22.
All right. Well, he's old enough. And I think if you take Haley Joel, that's an inspired choice for Batman, Haley Joel Osment, because you got a guy there who's about 5 foot nothing. You got almost this little short, crazed, excuse my language, but a short, crazed midget in a bat suit. I'm telling you, that is a box office, that's box office magic, because, not that I want to turn in a comedy or anything like that.
Well, people are going to think you're joking around.
I don't know why. Why do you say that?
Because it's just not. No one's going to buy it, man. If you got Haley Joel Osment as Batman, all 5 foot whatever, and I don't know how tall he is.
Any kid that's that precocious grows up to be stunted in size. You know, Phil?
No, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Well, all right, you don't know.
No, I don't. What are you talking about?
I'm going to say it again. Any kid that's that precocious generally never goes higher than 5'5", 5'4". They're all short and stunted, and it's weird. And their teeth are too large. You know, you've seen it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
What are you saying, Phil? Listen, look at Gary Coleman. All actors that are really good as kids grow up to have large teeth and are only 5'4".
Large teeth and are only 5'4".
That's what it seems like. And so I think that with Haley Joel Osment, you got a 22-year-old man with these big teeth, big ears, 5'4". Ooh, God. Can you imagine that, living in a mansion on top of a hill? Woo! Woo! And I'll tell you right now, and that's what I would propose to the studio. I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. You know I'm gay, and so in order for us to affect this reality, this truth, my vision would be adhered to, I hope.
All right, well, hang on, Doug, okay?
And that's talk show host for Screw You, Doug.
No, it's not Doug. God, what's everybody so sensitive about?
Well, everyone's sensing some attitude on your part, like you're judging people tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm judging people, all right. You better believe that, but that doesn't necessarily mean every step of the way I'm saying screw you. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what you people are talking about.
What?
What do you mean every precocious actor grows up to have big teeth and is 5'4"?
All the male, we don't know about the females, but the male actors that are great at the age of 10 grow up to be that sort of, I don't know what it is.
All right, well, we'll get back to this fascinating line of discussion when we return with Doug Danger and the rest of our crew here. It is a Friday night. We're talking about the new Batman movies. Who's going to be cast? Well, Ben Affleck's going to be cast, but Doug Danger would like to take over the project and cast somebody nuts like Owen Wilson or Tom Sizemore or Haley Joel Osment, 5'4 with big teeth. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the program here. Our number 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhenryshow.com, and it's just a beautiful thing, baby.
Well, that sounds like jazz.
Yes, it is jazz, and sometimes it's exactly what we need. Doug Danger is on the phone with us here, and we're discussing the Batman movie. You know, I'll tell you this much. Batman, all of these films, it seems to me that really, when it comes to making movies, that's what you got to do. You got to make something having to do with cartoons or action or something like that, which is fine. You know, I realize it's a movie for the whole family. And I don't know that you want to make things all that dark if it's a film that's trying to canvas as much and get the business of as much of the people as possible, Doug.
You want to say that again, man?
Yeah, that didn't sound organized at all.
Let me just say something here. I don't need any commentary from you.
What are you getting all upset about?
She's just trying to help out, Phil.
Well, hold on for a minute here. I'm asking a question.
Well, it's just your thoughts are not organized.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. You're all blah, 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 blah. This is what it sounded like, Bill. Blah, 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 blah.
He's pissed. You better...
All right, I'm sorry. What was your question?
Want me to ask it again?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what the problem was? You're sitting there judging me, and you're not listening to my question.
All right, let's not get all, you know, hurt.
You're getting a little butt hurt.
Yeah, getting butt hurt.
If I hear anybody say that one more time, I so help me God, male or female, I'm going to start swinging.
Well, Phil, I am a woman.
Don't tell me I'm getting butt hurt.
Well, it sounds like you're all, that's all. Look, all right.
You know what? I think we've had enough of Doug Danger. What do you think?
Come on, man. Don't hang up on me now, please. I swear to God.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, to answer your question, I'm sorry I said butt hurt.
Yeah, I am too.
Go ahead.
To answer your question, well, I forgot.
I'm asking about the commercial viability of having a psycho playing Batman or a guy that you think is emotionally unstable.
Oh, okay, yeah. I forget. All right, I mean, I remember now, okay. It's a good question. I mean, look, you want to get a lot of people into the movie theater. You want to get a lot of butts in the seats. It's all about butts in the seats. That's what it's about, you know?
Yeah, about it. Bad butts in the seat.
Not butts in the seat. It's butts in seats, plural.
Right.
Yeah, so...
I'm sorry.
So anyway...
But what is it with you guys? Quit butting in with something stupid.
So what I'm saying is this. You got to get people in the seats. And you're right. If you cast someone and you say, this guy's nuts, he's nuttier than a fruitcake, he's as close to the edge, he's goofier than three coats of paint, dumber than the March Hare, this guy's ready to go at any second. Come see Owen Wilson as he plays Batman, Bruce Wayne, because this guy is liable to have a psychotic break on camera. You don't say that. You don't say that at all. You don't go near it. You just say, starring Owen Wilson, you know, Batman as Owen Wilson.
Now, you're going to get the inevitable questions. Now, why Owen Wilson? You know, it's interesting to note, all the Batmans that have been cast all have dark hair.
That's because the character in the comic book has dark hair.
Yeah, the suit's dark.
Well, the suit's got nothing to do with it, man.
Yeah, it does, if the hair's black.
The suit has nothing to do with it. The hair is black on Bruce Wayne. The suit's black, yeah. But, you know...
But then the guy's got to have dark hair.
No, because Bruce Wayne made the suit.
If Bruce Wayne made the suit because he had dark hair. If Bruce Wayne was a blonde, it'd probably be a white suit.
Yeah, it would be a white suit.
I don't know that that's true either. Let's forget it. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, where are we now?
Will you shut up? We're talking about Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Owen Wilson. You don't say Owen Wilson's been cast as Batman because he's a psycho, because he tried to kill himself, because we think this guy may actually start going, you know, whatever. God knows, I mean, if you did that, you know, are you going to keep that, or are you going to go ahead and yell cut and recast? I'd be torn. I'd be torn, you know?
Wait a minute. If an actor had a breakdown on the set, you'd go ahead and just let the cameras roll, huh?
You don't know what you're going to get, you know?
What you're going to get is a guy having a breakdown, and depending upon... So go ahead.
All right, I'm just telling you. So you don't advertise it. If I hire Tom Sizemore, I go, Tom Sizemore, a guy that's been in for drug addiction, a guy that's been into jail, a guy that's a mental case, he's going to play... I don't say that. All I'm saying is I look for a guy that may be on the edge, somebody that's ready to just go ahead and say and chuck it all and start driving his car down sidewalks. I don't know. Is Ben Affleck the guy? We'll see. You know, but what I want to see in Ben Affleck is that psycho look. Now, if you look at the first Batman movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as the Joker, you had two guys that looked like they were both battier than a fruitcake, man. Both of those guys looked like they were ready to go at any second. And Michael Keaton has always been a weird ass.
Well, Michael Keaton is an offbeat guy, yeah.
Exactly.
Very, very offbeat. But you could say the same thing about Val Kilmer.
Well, I don't know.
You couldn't.
I don't think so. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I wouldn't call. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've got the ability to see a nutcase because we have that nut eye, or what you call homo nut eye, or whatever. I mean, we got homo eye and.
What are you talking about, homo eye?
Well, you're always talking about having gay eye. What do you mean by nut eye?
If you got gay eye, you got nut eye, which it goes without saying. So you're able to see more clearly.
What do you mean, nut eye? When did this come in?
When did it come in? It's always been there. It's always been a part of gay eye. What I'm saying, Phil, to make it easier for people listening, I'm able to see who these actors are that we could use in these roles as psychos, as metal cases, as guys that are multimillionaires and, oh yeah, belong in a straitjacket in a dungeon someplace.
Guys that are multimillionaires and, oh yeah, I wonder if we have anybody like that in real life. Who knows?
Well, if we did, we will never know because Steve Jobs is dead.
That was unnecessary.
Oh, come on.
No, that was really unnecessary. I get so sick and tired of people trying to slip in these Steve Jobs slams. That was entirely unnecessary.
Margaret, I didn't mean anything by it, but Phil teed it up and I had to hit it out.
I didn't tee anything up, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Thank you.
I thought it was unnecessary.
All right, your vote has been cast. We get it, you know.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, it's just Steve Jobs. What are you talking about?
Would you shut up? Shut him up. I don't like Mr. Jobs being the target of these jokes.
Wow. What's with her?
Will you take it easy? He did a little bit of a joke. That's it.
No, it's not a little. It's Steve Jobs.
So?
Oh, baby.
You know, Margaret, you're just going to have to get over the fact that Steve Jobs is, you know, people are going to make jokes. Doug, I thank you very, very much for being on our show. I appreciate it very, very much. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back here after this here break and wrap up for the week on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Check out our video cast. Tomorrow night, I don't think we're going to have a movie because I'm out taking care of business. But don't forget, we have a video cast of this show. We have a podcast of this show, and we have our classic podcasts, as well as the Bobby Dooley podcast with Henry Rollins this week. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show, final hour here on this Friday night. Well, still got the website, philhendryshow.com. Get some archives there and get yourself a podcast or two and get yourself a video cast or two. We're on video right now at Phil TV in HD. And we have usually before the show starts, we'll do an hour of our video cast. And it's generally a kind of a background thing, right?
Yes, like the other night you were talking about doing this party that you went to, and the background on all of that. At some point, you're going to have to tell people.
Yeah, you got to tell people what's going on.
There's nothing to tell, man. There's nothing to tell. I'll tell you. I'll say we're working on an animation project. Big wow. What about it?
Well, that's big news.
No, it's not big news. It isn't big news until you turn it into an actual pilot, and then it goes on the air. That's when it's big news. Just sitting down and writing something, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, now you saying that makes it appear to the people listening that I don't know my you-know-what from 40 cents a week about the entertainment business, and I'm very well versed in it.
Fine. Who said you didn't?
Well, give me a chance to say yes, but I also know.
Okay, now's your chance.
Doesn't make any sense now.
Yeah, you already said it.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense. Phil, don't act flustered. You're the jack... Well,
don't call me a jackball, okay?
Well, you're the guy.
All right, look, I know that we have... I think we're going to... R.C. Collins is going to join us here from Bradley Military Academy in just a moment because there has been... an announcement in the Paula Deen case that I guess he seems to think is some kind of...
Well, he said that you owe him... He said you got to take one for the team, something like that.
I got to take one for the team. What does that mean? R.C., how are you, young man?
Yes, Mr. A., I'm doing good, sir.
And how are things there at school?
Yes, sir, very good, sir. The reason why I was calling is because... the news item that I saw and you wanted me to call up if we ever seen any news item that we... If you said to call up if we ever seen any news item. I mean, you know...
That, yeah, one that is worthy of going on the air with.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you got?
Yes, sir, I have a news item here that says Paula Deen lawsuit appears to be over. Settlement a possibility. Celebrity chef Paula Deen... who lost endorsements and a national cooking show after she admitted using a racial slur in the past on Friday, welcomed the resolution of a lawsuit by a former employee who leveled accusations of racism and sexual...
Harassment?
Harassment, yes, sir. The federal lawsuit will be dismissed by agreement according to a court filing. It was not immediately clear whether there was a settlement, but a description on a federal court website labeled the filing as a settlement agreement. And the proceedings will be dismissed with prejudice, meaning a lawsuit can't be filed. Well, I mean, the reason why I'm calling up, Mr. Henry, is it looks like you got to take a hit for the team, you know.
What does that mean, I got to take? What does that mean?
It looks like you were wrong about Paula Deen.
Well, if I was wrong, you were, you know.
No, no, no. I never came out and said that she was a racist. I said that I called her a butterhog. I'll admit that.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of you guys, you know, when you say butterhog, that's almost...
That's pretty, you know, it's pretty insulting, Margaret.
It may be insulting, it's not racist.
Well, but I mean, what the point that I'm making, Mrs. Gray and Mrs. Henry, or not Mrs. Henry, but...
Yes, you're Mrs. Henry.
Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, is that both of you were coming down on Mr.
Mrs. Deen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. Both of you were coming down on...
I want to interrupt him. Slow down, because you're starting to go, both of them.
Yes, ma'am. Both you and Mrs. Gray, Mr. Henry, were coming down on Paula Deen and saying she was a Ku Klux Klan butterhog.
I never used that term at all.
I believe you did, Mr. Henry.
Well, I said butterhog. I didn't say a Ku Klux Klan butterhog. That's ridiculous.
What about Ku Klux?
What about a Ku Klux Klan?
What do you mean a Ku Klux? Are we getting into this again? Are you idiots still don't know how to pronounce that? Ku Klux Klan.
Well, it's pretty hard. I mean, you had a whole lifetime to practice it because those guys they were everywhere, man. They were sitting on bus benches back when you was a kid. Today, you can't find hide nor hair of them. And they don't exactly wear no sheets anymore. They wear T-shirts and army boots and stuff.
Okay, fine. But the point is they're not... The bigger point here is I never said, nor do I recall Ms. Gray saying that Paula Deen was a Ku Klux Klan. Look, I'll give you this much, okay?
No, Mr. Henry. You got to finish the sentence. She called him a Ku Klux Klan butterhog.
It's not Ku Klux Klan, you ass.
All right, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's
Ku Klux Klan, okay?
Yes, sir.
I will give you this. I'll give you this. I did jump. Look, I want to see this story. They dismissed the lawsuit, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything other than the fact that the thing that I saw in this story was that she did admit to using racial slurs in the past. She, as part of the dismissal of this lawsuit, was that she admit that she was using these terms and that she was, guilty of addressing her employees this way. So this doesn't exactly let her off the hook. I think what was happening was that the judge and the people that filed the lawsuit...
Mr. Henry, let me read on here, because you might not know,
Let me do it, okay?
Well, I wanted to do it. You might not know.
You want to spit it out?
What's wrong with you? You sound like Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the One Flew Over the Nest.
No, One Flew Over the Clue. Or not the Clue, the Coo.
Put them all on hold. I'll read it.
Phil, I have the story.
I'll read it. One flew over the Clue's nest. Is there a disease that's flying around in the air right now? Are these two guys kidding? Don't say anything, bud. Now, the story here of Paula Deen lawsuit is as follows. The Paula Deen lawsuit, the proceedings will be dismissed with prejudice. Earlier this month, the district judge in Savannah dismissed a portion of the lawsuit that contended former employee Lisa Jackson was a victim of racial discrimination. Ms. Deen released a statement Friday saying she believes in kindness and fairness for everyone. While this has been a difficult time for both my family and myself, I'm pleased that the judge dismissed the race claims, and I'm looking forward to getting this behind me. Now, what Ms. Deen may not have addressed was that part of this settlement had to do with her admitting that she'd used racial terms in the past. Jackson could not claim to be a victim of racial discrimination targeting African Americans. She did allege that Deen and her brother, Bubba, committed numerous acts of violence, discrimination, and racism. Sexual harassment and abusive treatment were still pending until Friday's agreed order of dismissal. Deen thanked Jackson for 5 years of service at Uncle Bubba's. Moving forward, my team and I are working to review the workplace environmental issues that were raised in this matter and to retool all of my business operations. The complaint alleged racial biased attitude, that it prevailed throughout the defendant's restaurant operations. The judge ruled there was no evidence of racially offensive comments allegedly made by Bubba Hares directed toward Jackson, but that is not the claim when it comes to Deen. Who's Bubba Hares? Is that the guy's name? Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back with more on this.
Well, it looks to me like she got off the...
Well, yeah. And so if this kid is claiming that do I got to eat crow on this thing?
Yeah, it sounds like to me.
All right. I mean, I will. But let's take a break and figure it out first, if you don't mind. Because there's a lot of stuff going on with this particular case. And I don't think there's people that are... I don't think everybody's reading the thing right. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You can take him off a hold if he just... Everybody calm down, okay?
Yeah, you got to calm down.
Yep, just take it easy. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com and our number 855-500-7445. So what does everybody think? Here, they got me over a barrel or something?
Well, it looks like you're going to have to come to Jesus on a couple of things.
Yeah, it looks like a come to Jesus.
What do you mean, come to Jesus? Let me get this kid. I shouldn't say kid. RC, so exactly where do you think you got me?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to say I got you or anything, but Paula Deen has been found to be not guilty of the calling people telling Aunt Jemima jokes and stuff, and I'm just saying that, you ought to admit to your wrongdoing. Didn't you think you done wrongdoing? Or are you saying?
Wait, what do you mean my wrongdoing?
Well, you said she was a racist.
Hey, Margaret, if I were you, I would just back off because you were all over this thing too.
I was following your lead.
Yeah, I think Ms. Gray was following your lead.
Oh, get out of here, Paul. That's a hot one. The day she follows anybody's lead. I heard you saying she was, and I know you're saying it's not racist, but I heard you call her a butter hog, okay?
Yes, and that's not saying that she's a Ku Klux Klan or whatever these idiots call it. Or one flew over the Clue's nest. I said she was a butter hog, and I have my reasons. And most of my reasons have to do with her recipes that contain butter. A lot of butter.
Well?
A lot of butter.
Well, that's probably an argument for another day, Mr. Hendry, on whether the butter content, you know, would lead to it, but...
Lead to what?
Well, lead to a cardiac arrest or something like that.
Well, that's not a racial claim. That's got something to do. That's health. That's I tell you what, I would love to see somebody sue her because she would win that one too. I'd love to see someone sue her because her recipes contain too much butter. I mean, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that people would have a better chance. If you want to sue Paula Deen, go after her for the butter content. That's what I do.
I haven't even looked at her recipes to know what kind of butter content.
Well, Phil, one look at her.
You know, let's grow up a little bit.
I am grown up. I'm saying one look at her. That's not an infantile point of view.
Paula Deen eats. Whether she eats too much or too little is a point of debate. Whether it's the result of her recipes is also a point of debate. You can't say because she's fat, it's because her recipes have too much butter in them. She may, in point, be eating too much. Okay? I've never eaten any of Paula Deen's recipes, and I was overweight by some 60 pounds for a lot of years.
Yeah, but you said you was eating your wife's cooking, and that's the same... It's not the same thing, but it sort of is.
Why?
Well...
Yeah, that is kind of the same thing.
Well, why is that?
Because a guy that eats his wife's cooking is eating the cooking of his wife... that he just married, and she's going to have a lot of butter.
Well, okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, if you think about it...
No, I don't even want to go further down the road of what you're talking about. You're saying that she just wants it to taste good.
Yes, sir.
Well, no kidding, man. Everybody wants their recipes to taste good.
Well, yeah, but not like a newlywed.
You know what? When you get old enough to know what you're talking about, then you give me a call, okay?
Well, that's what every adult says.
Well, that's what this adult's saying. You don't know, You were doing fine, man, when you said that I had to take one for the team for the racial stuff. Get off of whether Paula Deen ought to be sued for the butter content of her recipes. Now, what do you guys think I owe?
Well, a lot of things you were saying about Paula Deen being racist and everything.
Well, we figured out, Mr. Hendry, that you should buy a Paula Deen cookbook and give it a... Well, maybe not give it away, but you ought to buy one.
I'll buy one.
God, you all...
You did, Phil. You kind of stuttered over that. Why?
What, you think it's some kind of a Freudian thing?
Well, it seems like that. Yeah, something, son, you went like, I'll buy one. Yeah.
Well, maybe it was Freudian. Maybe, but I will. I'll buy a Paula Deen cookbook. If that's, I'm not going to give it away on the air. I'll use it.
Oh, yeah, right. What are you going to do?
I'll freaking make something with it. Okay?
You'll make something out of the Paula Deen cookbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll eat it here on the video cast. I'll show everybody here. Here's what I made from the Paula Deen cookbook.
What are you going to make?
I don't know. What has she got?
Probably got, like, if she's a southern person, chicken.
Yeah, she's probably got hominy, or whatever that's called.
Hominy grits. There's hominy, there's chitlin. I don't think she's got chitlin. I think she's got chicken. She has, pastries.
What about, like, pies?
Yeah, she's probably got the blue... The blueberry pie that you gotta cool off on a windowsill.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, man. I'll make something out of the damn Paula Deen book. Is that cool with you? Will that do it?
I don't know. Yeah, that's fine. But I just want people to know that you was wrong, I think.
If I was wrong, I was wrong. I gotta tell you something, though. I know there's a component of this settlement here that has to do with her admitting that she had used these racial terms. She's also, in this settlement... saying we're going to review our workplace habits. We're going to review the environment. We're going to review how we address our employees. So she's admitting to the fact that she needs, her business needs, to address anew these conditions.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean that she's admitted in the filings that I, in not the filings, in statements that she made after the proceedings, that her business needs to review certain things. And I had also read yesterday when I read about the settlement that she had to admit having used these racial terms. So I think what she's saying is, in exchange for the lawsuit being dropped, she will say openly and publicly that there were these, shall we say, environmental conditions that were negative, that were distasteful, that were injurious, and that, well, not injurious, but...
What does that mean, injurious?
That's what you're trying to use a big word.
Well, Phil, just keep it simple for these imbeciles.
Injurious, I don't want to use the word injurious because it's a legal term.
Yeah, so what?
That means that she'd have to, if she did something injurious, they'd have to find her guilty. So I don't want to say that.
Well, it doesn't make any difference if she did it or not if she didn't. If she did something that was like, I don't want to say a bad word, but you were saying it earlier, like butthurt, you know?
Well, what about using butthurt?
No, I'm not going to use butthurt.
Is that a legal term?
No, it is not a legal term. No, it is not.
Well, you could use it then.
But I'm not going to use it. Thank you very much, very much, RC.
You said thank you very much.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a lisp.
See you later, man.
Well.
Okay, so that was fantastic.
Well, you got rid of him, didn't you?
Yes, I did get rid of him because it got to a point where he was starting to bug the hell out of me, and I was going to go through the phone on him. There's something about that kid that's really rubbing me the wrong way, man.
What do you mean?
There's something about the kid that's rubbing me the wrong way. He gets on here and starts talking, hey, Mr. Henry, you know.
Well, Phil, I think you were a big man to admit you were wrong.
Well, I mean, if I was wrong about Paula Deen, hell yeah. But I don't know that I'm entirely wrong about her. I just don't. She used these words, she used these terms. What she had to do, what the person that sued her had to do, is they had to tie the use of these terms and this kind of workplace environment, if you will, or attitude that was being expressed, they had to tie that to a specific set of circumstances or events that reflected racial discrimination. You can say someone is using the N-word around you, but in a civil action, that's not enough to say that there's been harm done. You have to prove the harm. You have to prove the harm. So if you say, he used the N-word, and the court will say, aha, that's proof of injury, bang, you win. That is not proof of injury. There's no question that you can bring it to court in a civil action, say, they used the N-word and that resulted in injury to me. All right, what injury did you suffer? Well, psychological. Well, you're going to have to somehow put that all together for the court. What do you mean by that? So they tried to draw in a workplace environmental, workplace problems that kept me from being promoted. My pay was affected. My attendance was affected. Something along the lines of that. They couldn't do it. In every instance, they proved that there was, at least the Paula Deen side proved, that there was, in fact, no suffering of performance and that there was no real behavior reflected in how they were treated otherwise. So, yeah, she used these words, and I don't think it's educated. I think it is hateful. I think it's just ignorant beyond words to be using a word like that around black people. You got to be out of your mind, man. First of all, these days, it's suicidal. Suicidal. I say that what happened was they did not prove that it was an injurious thing. It was simply, it was hard to hear, but Paula Deen's side proved, no, we didn't act in a racially discriminatory manner other than to hear those words. And that's, you know, that's an argument for another day, man.
Well, I think that the fact is you were wrong.
Yeah, uh-huh, I was wrong, even though you agreed with me.
I said butterhog, that's all I'm admitting to.
And so I'm going to buy a Paula Deen cookbook and I'll cook something out of it, if that's okay with everybody.
Yeah, it can't be no barbecue because you always do that.
All right, it won't be any barbecue. I'll bake something. I'll cook something. I don't know what the hell I'll do. I'll do something, man. Okay, guys, well, that's an interesting thing. Paula Deen is, and now we'll see whether or not she's able to build this thing back to where it was, man. Is she going to bring her business back or not? Is she going to be able to bring her cookbook business back or not? Is she going to be, I don't know. You know, it's going to be a fascinating and an ongoing story, the Paula Deen story. All right, coming back with our final half hour here on this Friday night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk with us about the weekend and your safety, your security, Jay's safety and security. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to our program. On the line with me, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and it's a It's another hot weekend all across the country. We are coming toward I shouldn't say the end of the summer. That probably bums people out a little bit, Jay, but the three-quarter mark, maybe?
Oh, yeah, it's part of the summer. This is August, really, Phil, so a lot of people are on vacation. I mean, a lot of people go out on vacation early. I've seen this around our neighborhood as we do our spend checks. We'll go up and down the street, and I'll ask people, are you going on vacation? And we have those run-ins. For the most part, we've been able to extract from people who are going on vacation on month of June, month of July. And
Now, when you say that you have to extract, so you're asking people, goes to the very heart of what people have complained about.
Well, what people have complained about with our organization.
Exactly, that you're getting information from people that you're not entitled to.
Well, as we've often said, Phil, I think, every time someone brings this up, I always say the same thing. I say, you're kind of, you're stepping in it. If you want to step in it, go right ahead, but I'm not going to be here to wipe it off.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, if you want to step in it, go ahead, but I'm going to be there to wipe it off.
He said, if you want to step in it, go ahead, but he won't be there to wipe it off.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is that if you want to say that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is doing something that's extra-legal, you're going to be wrong, and you have to take a consequence. Now, I go along the different houses on our street and say, when are you going to be taking your vacation? Because we want to know when they're not going to be home. And when they're not going to be home is when burglar is going to assault the home. Now, I say burglar. You notice I don't say burglars in the plural because it's no longer useful to say burglars. We're just saying burglar because it's almost as if you're saying the phenomenon of a tornado or a hurricane was a phenomenon of burglar. And so if your home is hit by a tornado, or your home is hit by, let's say your home is hit by a tsunami. You don't say a tsunami, say tsunami. Say your home's hit by a burglar. See?
Okay, that's fine. I don't understand. Why do you need to...
What's the point of that?
The point is so that we're trimming down and slimming down and trimming the fat off of and going lean with the different terms we're using so that we can approach the crime problem in a much leaner, slimmer, more lean and mean and skinnier way. And so if I go to a homeowner, I say, well, when are you taking a vacation because burglar may be out?
That to me sounds really silly. Burglar. Yeah, burglars may, just someone is going to rip you off.
Well, okay, if you want to, but if someone's going to rip you off, that's that many words. Burglar, that's all I got to say. Go ahead, say someone's going to rip you off.
Someone's going to rip you off.
Burglar. See, I said mine way quicker.
That's great. That's great. Now, how does that keep a home safe?
Well, it keeps a home safe this way. If I'm able to find out when you are not going to be home and you resist the giving me that information, so I find out you're not home and you don't want to give me that information, right? Because I'm keeping track of when you're not home so I can protect your home. But you won't give me that information? That tells me that you'd rather have burglar. And when we did our newsletter, we do a semi-annual newsletter, and the article was called, Do You or Do You Not Really Want to Keep Burglar Away?
It sounds to me like you're fighting a battle.
Can I just finish what I'm saying, Phil?
Okay, go ahead.
So when we did our annual newsletter, or our semi-annual newsletter, I should say, we did our semi-annual newsletter at the beginning of summer, and then we do a semi-annual newsletter beginning of winter. And at beginning of winter, we talk, I forget what we talk about at beginning of winter, probably about Peeping Tom or something like that. But in the beginning of, because the Peeping Tom comes out in the wintertime. They come out in winter because there's very few people out at night. That's when Peeping Tom comes out.
Now, you call it the Peeping Tom?
No, ma'am, Peeping Tom. Oh. So, and then at beginning of summer, that's when burglar. Okay, so...
I'm never going to get used to that.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, yes, you will, because you're interested in keeping your home safe. So I say to people, when are you going to be out on vacation? I don't want to tell you, Jay. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I still don't want to tell you, Jay. Okay, that tells me something, that you're not afraid of burglar. And they say, that's none of your business. Fine, that's great.
And so when they go on vacation, does their home get ripped off, the ones that don't tell you?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because I know what you're thinking, and I'm very offended by it. But I, you know, that's okay. You're saying that we're going to go around, rip off someone's house. No, we're not. So, how does that make you feel?
Okay. So the people that don't give you the information when they're on vacation, they just go on vacation. Do you know they're on vacation?
Yeah, you know, their cars are gone, or at least, you know, all you got to do is knock on the door.
So you're going to their house anyway to check to see if they're home or not?
That's correct.
All right, well, then you can protect their home then.
Well, we may not have the manpower. That's what I'm saying. So we are not ripping their homes off. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. We're protecting their homes. Their homes could very well be ripped off. But that's up to the burglar. And burglar gets his information in a lot of different places. Burglar may find out about information that is in the neighborhood. Burglar may find out about information like at the supermarket. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are not home this week because we stopped the grocery deliveries or whatever, you know. That's where burglar go.
This thing with burglar, man, is just...
Yeah, it's a little irritating.
Well, it's a law enforcement tool, ma'am. It's not. We didn't design it to make you guys feel all warm and gushy inside, you know.
No, it's not about me feeling warm and gushy. It sounds, forgive the word, it sounds a little mentally deficient, you know, so we're not using that R word.
You mean retarded?
So I didn't want to use that word.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, though.
Says you.
Yeah, says me.
Well, so what's that mean?
Well, what does it do, man? What does it do? How does it help you? Burglar.
I just got done telling you. It's an economy of word that helps us stick to the real job, which is to find out where burglar is.
Okay, look, you haven't said anything to me yet that indicates anything.
But Jerry, I doubt very much if you had a real law enforcement, if you had a law enforcement officer on it you respect, like a regular city cop, you would be yelling at him and telling him he's a retard and everything like that. And that's how you treat me.
I apologize, Jay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice to you.
Well, that's what you do. Every time I come on, you're always going, you yell and everything like that. And all I'm saying is we're trying to protect homes the best way we know how. Do I know where burglar is? I don't know where burglar go. Burglar is burglar. He does what he wants to do.
Will you quit talking about the guy like he's a superhero or something?
Jeez.
My yard, it's weird, man.
Why?
Nobody talks about burglar.
Just, here's the thing. You go, if the cat goes on vacation and you see that he's on vacation and you can protect his home, then what difference does it make whether you found out ahead of, you're telling me you got a manpower problem. I ain't buying that for a second, man. Because I know you can rotate crews, whatever you, and if you want to keep an extra eye out on a guy's house, you can do that.
Yes, sir, I can do that. You're right, Mr. Henry, but how much interest does that guy have in protecting his home when he don't tell me when he go on vacation?
Yeah, and then burglar may come.
Well, if you want to make a joke about it, go right ahead. But what interest do I have in that?
So in other words, if the guy doesn't give you the information you want, you just go ahead and tell him it's sink or swim. You're on your own, pal. Your house may be burglarized. It may not be burglarized. You didn't give me my information, so screw you.
Well, you're making it sound like it's a little childish. Yeah.
Well, Jay, it is sounding childish, because if you're not going to be there when the man's on vacation, and you insist on this term burglar...
Well, why didn't he tell me?
Because he doesn't want to give you that information. He doesn't want to tell Jay Santos that.
Yeah, and yet, he would expect Jay Santos to keep burglar away. See, we did that 2 years ago. You know, the Rydell family is at the end of my street, okay?
Right.
And their home was targeted by burglar. We were there, and there were two gentlemen who were getting out of a car, and this is about 3 in the morning, and these guys were walking around the backside of the Rydell home, and Space Commander Gleason was there, and they got skittish, and they moved on.
What is the Space Commander?
That's the sub-commander. We talk about commander, sub-commander. That's the sub-space commander.
What is that?
What is that? God, Phil.
Hey, Jay, it's the fact that I've even got you on the air is, consider that a victory. And now you're telling me about your subspace commanders. Dude, anybody dialing in, they think I'm talking to some nut that believes Star Trek exists, okay?
Yeah, and yet I helped the Rydell home keep from being burglar could get in.
Burglar, you know, that's great. That's great. And what did the Rydell family say when they got home?
Well, we told them what happened, and they thanked us. We shook hands, and it was all a big misunderstanding because they thought we were a bunch of space cadets, too. And I told them, well, you may think that, but look at that. Subspace Commander Gleason saved the day, and he saw these guys come around, told them to get lost.
Did you guys call the cops?
Of course we called the cops, but they were long gone. But we did have a description. We had a license plate. It had a description of the car and everything. So when I talk to these families now, and they don't want to give me information to protect their home, and I say, well, the Rydells, we kept burglars from going in, then they give me the rolled eye look, and they go, ew. They give me that curled lip routine. That's it.
Anybody is going to roll their eyeballs, man, when you're standing there talking to them about burglar, and they don't know what's up with you. Even though on your street, Jay, I'm sure by now, you're legendary. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with our final segment here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. How can you keep your home safe from burglar here at the tail end of the summer? Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445, philhendryshow.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we just had a little bit of a look there as we were coming out of our commercial break on Phil TV and HD of the beautiful little baby Northwest. This is Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's child. And now, it's a she. Oh, whew. Man. I didn't know what gender the child. I forgot. I hadn't followed the story.
Well, yes, it's a she, and you couldn't tell by the name?
No, I could not tell by the name. Who could tell by the name? North. What is that?
Yeah, it doesn't exactly... Yeah, it doesn't tell you.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is on the line with us. Jay, and, you know, we continue discussing your security toward the end of the summer. And, of course, I know that you have in mind the well-being and the safety of all of the people on your street and everybody in the patrol area there. I'm just saying that asking people for information like that, you're generally going to get a no, unless you're an actual cop.
Well, this is interesting. Are we actual cops? You know, we're actual cops, Phil, when we save someone's house from being burglarized, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so that's when we're actual cops. If we stop the burglarism or of a home, then people say that we are cops. But if I'm wearing my PIF helmet and, you know, I'm going door to door and we're in our uniform and we're asking people, are you going on vacation when? And they go, why don't you go ahead and take your, you know, F, you know, they always call us, you know, why don't you take your fairy ass out of here with your fairy, you know, with your fairy wear. And I'll say, excuse me, sir, I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This guy, Herbinder, you know, this man who lives over on Claremont. And we went over there, and he goes, take your ferry wear and go ahead and, you know, fly back to Fairyland. And I said, you understand I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police? And he goes, no, you're the ferry police. And he starts flapping his wings and all this stuff, right? So guess what happened to his house?
It got burglarized.
You got it. You got it, and he refused. He did, and so he said, "Okay, fine," you know. And that summer, his home was broken into, and I mean, whoever went in there defecated on the beds.
Good God!
Yeah, it was bad. Took the TV, took all the piece of electronic equipment, defecated in every room, and it was both human and dog. I got to tell you, it was bad. It was really bad.
Well, wait a second. This is the story that this was one of your sub-commanders.
Yes, ma'am, it was. We arrested him ourselves. It was one of our sub-commanders that did it, and his dog. But the fact is, this guy's house...
Whoa, man.
No, you're not going to hang that wall on Citizens Auxiliary Police. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, the guy was in your organization.
Yeah, this was in the breeze. I saw the story, Jay. You've got to be a little bit honest.
No, I'm being honest. I'm totally being honest. But we did not commission that crime. That was nothing to do with us.
But it was one of your guys.
Yeah, it was one of my guys taking advantage of the fact that he saw that this guy's house was not going to be occupied for 2 weeks. But, you know, I have no doubt.
Who was the guy that did this?
It was one of our new sub. That's why it was one of our new subspace commanders. Subspace Commander Bartlett. And
what is with this subspace? Dude, I don't know. I thought I had all the ranks memorized. You got sub-commanders. You're the Brigadier Admiral, Major Newton.
That's correct. That's correct. We have full commander. This was a subspace commander. I don't understand. What don't you understand?
Well, is that the lowest rank?
That is the lowest rank, yes, ma'am. And subspace commander Bartlett was brand new. So I had no doubt that he was a train wreck. I knew this guy was a crime wave waiting to happen.
And you've got this guy as one of your subspace commanders.
Subspace, not sub.
Yeah, you got to know the difference on a subspace.
Oh, I see. Well, you got that all figured out, huh, bud?
Well, just, like Bud and I, we want to be subspace, but they wouldn't let us in.
Yeah, I had to deny. I denied the application of both your guys because they didn't live there. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they were bad, but they didn't live anywhere near us.
Okay, but you didn't deny their application because they weren't honest or anything.
No. They just didn't. Both of these guys, Bud won't even say where he lives, and Robert lives, you know, in Southgate, which I can't deal with. Not because of the race, but you're too far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so your subspace commander, Bartlett, ripped off this guy's house, defecated in all the rooms?
I think that goes without saying. I mean, if you're a guy and you go, hey, take your little fairyware and go off to fairyland, and you start flapping your fairyware and all that, yeah, you're going to leave him a little special treat. You know, you're going to rip him off, but it's not just going to rip him off. You're going to leave a little special something to remember you by. That's standard.
Oh, is that standard? Really? So defecate? I'm going to tell you something right now. That kind of behavior, to me, denotes serious emotional and mental disturbance. Serious. And then he had his dog with him.
Yeah, he and the dog both, which is, I'm not going to judge a man. I will tell you, Subspace Commander Bartlett is now, remanded for psychiatric appraisal. But I think, in a way, it's a sort of weird but skillful dog training to be able to squat and, like, both of you at the same time. And I said to him, why would you waste a talent like that on burglarizing a home? And he goes, because the guy was talking about being a fairy and, you know, the fairy police.
This guy, Bartlett?
Yes, sir.
Jay, I don't know where you find him, man.
Well, I always say that about you, too, Mr. Henry.
Well, you're right about that. All right, so this guy, I got to tell you something. That, to me, is not going to inspire any confidence whatsoever in me, in your citizens' auxiliary police, when you got one of your guys is a burglar. That is real cheesy.
I understand that, Mr. Henry. We've instituted procedures against burglar.
And one of the things that I don't see is helping you at all is referring to burglars as one big burglar. That, to me, is just the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you for your confidence.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to help you here, man. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Bud?
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. Yeah, I agree.
Margaret?
Well, what are you asking me, Mike? Of course it's idiotic. What does it mean? It means nothing. Burglar.
Well, you know, why don't you leave law enforcement to me?
Yeah, okay. I sure will there, Sheriff Dillon. Well,
No, it's Marshal Dillon. Wow. You don't even know. You don't even know, Keith.
Yeah, you're right, man. I don't know Marshal and Sheriff.
He's a guy that he just wants to do his part.
Yeah, you keep doing your part, Jay. One of these days, you're going to be doing your part in a soft room, man. Because if Subspace Commander Bartlett wound up in a soft room, I don't think you're too far behind. Burglar. All right, so we have the weekend ahead, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing tomorrow night, man, but we'll have we'll be updating you through the weekend on what is up. Don't forget Bobby Dooley's podcast today with Henry Rollins. Download all of them. They're a lot of fun. Bobby is, she's in fine form, man, as she thinks. Bobby thinks she is the god of interviewers. You know, she believes that she's the star. She could have the Queen of England in there.
Oh, she really, and the way she spoke with Patty Arquette. Oh, did you do Haiti? Oh, do you help? She is very disrespectful.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I thought so.
I thought she enjoyed Patty Arquette very. I thought it was very. So check out all of Bobby's podcasts, Bobby Dooley, and then of course our free podcast, our classic podcast, every Monday drops on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on the Sideshow Network. It's a gas. It's a beautiful thing. And of course our website, philhenryshow.com, live streaming video casts of each and every show you can watch and check out how we do what we do. Want to thank my good friend here, Bud, and Robert and Margaret. Thank you very much, guys, for helping out the show here this evening. Of course, in all the way back east there is Peter. He's helping out on the board there in the district. In the district. And, of course, see what else. Well, everybody everywhere, thank you. All of our station sponsors and, of course, all of you guys, our listeners, and all of our subscribers. Week 2 of the reboot is under our belts. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. See you cats on Monday night. Have a good weekend.